The scripture reading is taken from Judges chapter 6, nearly the whole thing, and this is the New International Version. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them unto the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land and to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord, your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites, whose land you live. But you have not listened to me." The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abarzite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all of his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you. You will strike down the Midianites, leaving none alive." And Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went inside and he prepared a young goat. And from 4 pounds of flour, he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and place them on this rock and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of his staff that was in his hand. Fire flared out from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die." Lord, add your blessing to this reading.
So today we're talking about fear. Something I'm afraid of this morning is that in between songs, I wasn't able to cut out enough of my sermon for us to make time this morning. But we look at Gideon, we already in this verse see his fear that he's living with. That it's something that's a burden on him and has warped the way that he lives his life. His fear has allowed him to create a new normal. Now I want you to think to yourself, what is it that I am afraid of? I had a nice long list of all the things I'm afraid of. I will give you the number one thing that Alan can, what am I afraid of? It's this. I'm afraid of needles. I'm afraid of IVs, shots, pincushions, needles. I had to go to the doctor back in April. I had a cyst on my neck. It was really cute. You should have seen it. I went to the doctor and he said, whoa, that thing is too big. I'm going to give you a referral. But while you're here, when was the last time you had a tetanus shot? And I'm like, I'm at the doctor. Don't you know? And like that, a medical assistant in there is with a nice tray with a giant needle. And I'm sweat, like, it's a nice, cool air conditioning room. I'm sweating. I am afraid. I'm having a reaction that's not like, oh, it's like, oh, I'm scared of the. No, I am like, my psychologically, there is something. And you might be looking at me and be like, the needle, it's not that big of a deal. It's July. Your arm doesn't hurt anymore from that April needle. Get over yourself. When I think, right, I'm thinking of stuff that I'm afraid of. It's real stuff. The health of my family. Financial burdens. Maybe it's even coming to church this morning. I'm coming to church. Am I going to be judged? I'm going to say, oh, haven't seen you in a while. So nice to see you. Right? Or maybe you've been burned by the church and it's still an open wound and you're coming and it's like, I'm still afraid of that. Or maybe you feel like you know that God is in the business of forgiveness, but that somehow you have passed the threshold and you are beyond forgiving. So we're going to read the rest of 24 through 32. And we're going to look at just how God works with Gideon through his fear. And it's going to take us another hour. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Sure. The same day, the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. And build the proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as an offering." So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the townspeople, he did it at night rather during the day. In the morning when the people came, the people of the town got up. There was Baal's altar demolished, and the Asherah pole beside it cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, "Who did this?" When carefully investigated, they were told, "Gideon, son of Joash, did it." The people of the town demanded of Joash, "Bring out your son. He must die, for he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it." But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, "Are you going to plead Baal's case or cause? Are you trying to save him? Whatever fights for him, whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, he can defend himself. When someone breaks down his altar." So because Gideon broke down Baal's altar, they gave him the name Jerub-Baal that day, saying, "Let Baal contend with him." So we're looking at Gideon's fear. Number three, the townspeople. Number two, God. Number one, the Midianites. So as you're thinking through maybe what your top three were, did you have the same ones that Gideon had? Yes? No? Raise your hand. No? But they're pillaging their town. We meet Gideon, and he is threshing wheat. And I, city boy, I had no idea what threshing was. I had to look it up. Harvest your grain, plop, right? In a pile. Pitchfork, we're gonna just throw it up in the air, and the chaff from the wheat, the wind blows it away. And we do that a couple times, and it's all gone. And it's separated, and you've got your wheat. Great. You do this on top of maybe a flat hill that's elevated. This is not where Gideon is doing this. He is inside of a large wine vat. There's not a ton of circulation. He is going to be at this for a long time. When he is done, he will be covered in sweat and probably just the chaff. Like, that's how it will separate. It will be on Gideon. And he's in there and he's like grumbling and groaning. And he's like, I know that this is a problem. I know that the Midianites are a problem. And I wish that someone would take care of it. And he is about to find out that he is the someone. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midianites. His whole life has been warped in this way that, like, I have to do everything out of fear. I can't even do my normal chores because I'm afraid of what others will do to me. The work that I do is going to be swooped up and taken from me. Maybe some of you are like, yeah, I can resonate with that. People taking what I do, my hard work, and it's no longer mine. So who is this angel of the Lord? The angel of the Lord, scholars say, is actually the physical manifestation of God in the Old Testament. So we meet Jesus later, but it's not just an angel. This is God. So when God says, Gideon, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior, my suggestion would be if an angel of the Lord comes and talks to you, just let this be a lesson. Just be nice. Like, try not to like be argumentative and rude. With Madison, I have a lot of pet names for her. Because I'm her dad, I like to use the one she hates the most. Very often, I call her Fart Factory. And she argues with me, Dad, no, you are the Fart Factory. I am not. Gideon argues with the same vigor and fervor that Madison does with me when God calls him Mighty Warrior. And the other thing here that I love about Scripture, I think when I was growing up reading the Bible, it was really hard for me to resonate with the people that the stories were about because it felt like everyone was this level of perfection. But the more I read, the more I see the humanity in these texts. That there's no PR person saying, you can't write that about Gideon. Right? He starts out strong. Pardon me, my lord. Right? Straight out of Downton Abbey. But then just goes right into, where have you been? We have been oppressed. They have been taking us. Like, for all we're worth. Like, if you are who our ancestors say you are, where have you been? So saying that you are with me now, where were you? How did we get here? He's frustrated. And maybe you resonate here. Maybe it's like, I had things. I had fears, and God, I called out to you, and you didn't show. So that by the time God does show up, our scope and our view of who God is so warped by static that when he does show up and speak to us, we can't even hear him because we're arguing about how it just doesn't work. What I love here is Gideon isn't able to see that what God is saying to him. Gideon is, he's accurate. He is saying what is the truth. I am the youngest and I am in the weakest tribe. What the heck am I going to do about this? This is somebody else more qualified than me can figure this out. Is better than me. I, Gideon, am not enough for what you have in store for me, God. Are we starting to resonate a little bit more now? And Gideon is right. He is not enough. Maybe you're right. You're not enough. I'm not enough. Like, why am I up here telling you guys, like, about fear? I don't have it figured out. I'm just trying to look in here and see what it says so that we can live it out. However, if you were awake during any part of this sermon, it should be right now because God is enough. You may not go back to sleep. That even despite of who Gideon is, in his fear, in his warpedness, right? He's a thresher. He's not a warrior. He's a thresher. That God is going to do great things through him. Son of a gun. And the great thing is that I'm pretty sure that Helen is going to finish up this sermon next week. In her own words, but I have so much that I can give her. Right? We see Moses. God says, hey, go to Pharaoh. Tell him to let my people go. Moses says, no way! I can't do that. Last time I was there, it was weird. It's going to be weird. I got kicked out of the speech and debate club. I'm not going to be able to do this for you, God, right? Peter, in the boat. Lord, like, call me out into the water with you, Jesus, right? Come. Paul steps out into the water. He starts to sink. His fear of the water, his fear of the storm, his fear of the drowning is too much. He can't work his way through the fear. And ultimately, to summarize two more pages, our fear ends up becoming an idol. We worship and we focus on the thing that we are afraid of, and it warps our entire life because we value and give more credence to the fear than we do of God, who is enough. What are you afraid of? Doesn't matter. Because God. Like, oh, that's way too easy. You don't know what I'm afraid of. No. This says that God is enough. God is more than the thing you are afraid of. In fact, the biggest hurdle that God has to go over in your fear is you getting the blank over yourself. It's not what you're afraid of. Oh, I'm afraid of this medical diagnosis. God created everything. That is not a problem. I'm not going to turn in here, but Paul says in Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? We are called to work through our fear, and we are not called to be fearless. We are called to be brave. God is calling us out to have faith in him and be brave. Gosh. All right, let's pray. God, we love you. You are bigger than us. We have crafted you as small, as lowercase g, that cannot handle all that we have. Let us take hold of your hand. Let us overcome anything that is in our way. May we hear your voice and be changed, that our life is different now because you called us great. Open our eyes so that we may follow you. Open our hearts that we may be sensitive to where you are calling us, even and especially when we are afraid. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Oh, when we got to do the Lord's Prayer. Please join me in the way that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.